Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Jeff. That was beautiful. At the midnight cry, my mic is off. When Jesus comes again. Amen. And that day is coming soon, my friends. That day is coming very soon. How many of you believe with all your heart that Jesus is calling you to help prepare the world for his soon return? My heart has been deeply convicted this week of what God is doing in his church. And you know, I just want to say how grateful I am for the opportunity to have been here at Mountain View. We have had just a tremendous camp meeting this week. And I think it's not just a coincidence that the speakers that have come were here. We have seen a divine coming together of our presentations and the themes that have taken place. Amen? I mean, it's been a real blessing to just see how God's worked. And we didn't coordinate. We didn't know who was coming ahead of time. We didn't know what messages were being presented. We just knew the theme was deeper yet. But God has really brought things together, and I'm just grateful for what he's done. So, and by the way, Juliet and Pastor Andre wanted to send their final goodbye to you. We saw them off about an hour ago, and they're driving now to Ohio, but they wanted me to share that goodbye and that they were very glad for the time they had with you here as well. So, guys, it's just been a real privilege, and I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for also the opportunity that some of us have had to talk. We've talked about many things. You've told me about some of your churches, and you've asked me about ASI, and I wish I could stay with you longer, but heading off later today for Chesapeake camp meeting. And so, anyway, God is going to bless, and I want you to know that we are especially praying, of course, ahead of the Beckley Pathway to Health. And I will share more. I'm going to share at the beginning of the meeting tonight, I think, where Naomi is back there. And we're going to share a couple more stories tonight. But, you know, God has tremendous plans in store for Beckley. And so we are praying for miracles. Today is my last day, and I want to share the second part of my testimony with you. On Tuesday, I shared the first part, so today I saved the second part, and I want to just share from my heart about how God has led in my experience, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you and will be something that will draw us closer to God today. So before we begin, I just want to pray, and then I also will sing our theme song as well. But let's just pray and ask God's Spirit to guide us in our time together. Father in heaven, thank you for a beautiful Friday here at Mountain View Camp Meeting. Thank you that we have experienced so many rich blessings this week, and that you have literally and figuratively poured out your showers of blessings. We are grateful, Lord, for the way you brought the messages together that all the speakers have presented, and for each and every person that came. And now just in this hour, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here and that you would speak through me, and may Jesus be lifted up. And Lord, help us to gain a clearer vision for what you are calling us to do in these last days. For in fact, we believe that Jesus is coming soon. Thank you for hearing our prayer today, and be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Who remembers what our theme is for this 11 o'clock series? Called, Chosen, Committed. And I'm going to actually, you know what, I almost forgot. I almost forgot that I have a couple more ASI DVDs to give away. Who wants one? Some of you didn't get one yet. Okay, so now is your last chance. Can I have an usher to help me? Brother Bruce, you're going to help me? Okay. We are going to have a quiz. I almost forgot it, Brother Bruce. All right, so quiz time for the last time. And my first question for you this morning, who remembers what we talked about yesterday? I know, there's been so many sermons. Who remembers? Just somebody tell me one simple thing we talked about yesterday, something you got from the message yesterday at the 11 o'clock hour. Yes, amen. Okay, she gets one. Did you already get one? Okay, you get to give it to somebody else. You get to give it to a gift. You get to give it to somebody. That's right. All right, good point. Does anybody remember the names of those two girls? Andressa and Victoria. Okay, you already got a DVD, didn't you? You didn't? All right. Give her a hand. She's been wanting one all week. Amen. Amen. All right, let's see. Who remembers what ASI stands for? Adventist Layman Services and Industries, right? Oh, but did you get one already? All right, she got one. Good job. Constance, the Lord is faithful and gracious to us. Amen. Okay, one more. All right. Boy, now I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel for questions. Let's see here. Who can tell me 6 of the 12 successful keys to evangelism? Now, you would have had to take notes to be able to answer this one. I know our brother Scott here takes notes, but he already got a DVD. So, did anybody take notes yesterday? Henry, you took notes? All right. Did anybody? If no one else has it, I'm going to ask Henry to tell us 6 of the 12, and then... Actually, Henry, you can decide who gets the DVD. Okay. Did you get one? You got one? Okay. All right. Actually, we don't have a mic, do we? So, just shout it out in your preacher's voice, Henry. I know you're a preacher. Give me your 6 top favorite ones. How's that? Twelve keys.
Is it on back there? Okay, I hear it now. It's God's means to save souls.
Amen.
It's also a biblical command that we should do this. And it gives us a vibrant spiritual life. It opens channels of the heart.
Amen.
And it gives joy to God's heart. That's something we don't think about much. And it puts you in the center of God's activity.
Amen.
Go where he's working if you want something to do.
Amen.
Okay. And it's God's means of using the church. And it's also, I'm trying to read my scribbling here, it closes down apostasy.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And it gives us something to do.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So it's God's means of finishing his work.
Praise God.
And there's a couple others here. It's very good that...
Let's give him a hand. I think he did a great job. Good job.
Okay, Henry. You're really
Thank
surprised.
You, Henry. God is good. And who would like one? Actually, you know what? There's one other thing I wanted to get. Melody, maybe you could help me find. I have a box of Glow that's either underneath. I'm gonna forgive Jeff Blumenberg because his wife is works with us in ASI, but he moved my ASI stuff from one side to the other without me knowing, Jeff. I got in here and I said, "Who came from It Is Written and moved my stuff?" And then I saw it was Jeff. I was like, "Okay, I got to be nice to him." Oh, but what's that? I don't have the Twilight, but I do have packs of Glow. I don't want to take anything back with me. I want to give it to you guys so you can take it back to your communities and share it with people. And Melody is looking diligently. I'm not sure where it is, Melody, because Jeff moved all my stuff, so you can blame It Is Written. I'm just kidding. We love, you know what, I want to praise God for the work of It Is Written and how God is using this ministry. I think the Lord really has bigger and bigger plans for what you guys are doing. And I just so much appreciate the ministry of Pastor Bradshaw and the team. And the visionary trajectory that they are on for the kingdom of God. So I encourage you to support the work of It Is Written. And even though they take my booth, it's okay. God is good. Well, let's sing our theme song, Chosen Generation, and I'm going to ask you to stand to get the blood flowing, and let's sing this together one final time.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness
into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. You are a chosen His own special people that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, His marvelous light. Into His marvelous light, His marvelous light.
Choir now, as well as a chosen generation. Amen. I love that song and want to remind you that we have, let me pull this up so you can see it. We have the blessing of, got to plug this in. We have the blessing of being able to download those scripture songs for free thanks to the Hope Sabbath School code. So, I'm going to have to move this. So do you guys remember yesterday? I just want to share this one more time in case we've got some new folks here today. But you can download the scripture songs from Pastor Morris on trilogyscripturesongs.com. And if you click digital downloads, hopefully we'll see it here in a second. If you click digital downloads, then you select Hope Sabbath School Special Edition. And then when you're checking out, just use the coupon code HOPE. And that will allow you to download the scripture songs from Hope Sabbath School, and you can use those in wherever you'd like to, and hide God's word in your heart, for that is truly a blessing, amen? Hiding His word in our heart. Yesterday, you may remember that I did not fulfill a promise to you. Do you remember? Are you guys with me? We ran out of time. I was going to show you the New Beginnings Evangelism Resource. So before I tell you the rest of my testimony, I want to briefly show you the New Beginnings Evangelism Resource that you can use in your churches and in your Bible study groups, wherever you can share. You can use this to spread the gospel. And these are tremendous sermons that were developed a number of years ago through ASI in coordination with Pastor Mark Finley and others who helped us pull these sermons together. Some of you, who here has gone on a Share Him or a Quiet Hour mission trip where you've preached before? Okay, a few hands. Have any of you preached? Who here has used the New Beginnings sermons? Okay. Who has not seen or used the New Beginnings sermons? Okay, so a number of you. Okay, good. So this will be I just want to show you what's available so that you can look at this and use it in your ministry. Melody, do you have the... Okay, so Melody's going to help me. I have on her computer, what we have is we have the PDFs of every sermon, right? So there are PowerPoint slides and there are PDF documents for every sermon. And the PDF has the text that you will preach, right? And the picture that corresponds to the text. And of course, the PowerPoint has the PowerPoint slides. And so what you do is you can either print out the PDF version, or you can put the text in the PowerPoint presentation and use that as you preach or as you share the Bible study. There is going to be a Play It version that's coming out soon where you can literally simply click it and the text is going to be read for you, so you don't even have to speak. But I like to tell people that it actually is advantageous for you to speak yourself because you can make it personal. You can put in your own stories and illustrations and people will connect with you on a better level. Does that make sense? So I just want to show you this really quick. It's a great resource, and let me bring it up for you. This is the 2.4 version. There is now 2.5, and you can get it on the website, which is... Actually, let me just ask for... Can I get a couple volunteers to pass these out? Just make sure everybody... If you haven't gotten one, I have these on the back booth here. This is the ASI brochure, and on the back of that brochure is our website, asiministries.org/newbeginnings. If you go to the website, you can download all of the New Beginnings sermons, all of the Abundant Living Health Talks, okay, the Abundant Living Health Talks, and the notes, the slides, everything you need is right there on asiministries.org/newbeginnings. So let me just show you real quick. I'm opening up sermon number one, and if you can see it, it'll take it a minute, but I'm going to open it up in PowerPoint, and it's going to bring up the slides. What I'm going to do, actually, I think I am going to do this, Melody. I'm going to ask for a volunteer to come up because I'm going to show you very quickly, very briefly, how we preach a New Beginning sermon, okay? So I'm going to pick on Henry because I picked on him already. So come on up, Henry. And you're a computer guy, so I know you're going to be okay with this. And you've never done New Beginnings, right?
Right.
Okay. So, Melody, you can put his computer here. And we'll just show you guys, I'll just show you this way. This is the PDF document that goes with the sermon. You see that? And so as you go down through the sermon, there's the text that corresponds with the slides. And so, Henry, I'm going to put this here, and we're just going to do a couple slides as an example for everybody. So let's say you're preaching, Henry, and you are doing this sermon, How to Know the Future. Okay, and we're going to put it in presentation mode. So we're going to do slideshow, presenter view, which you taught me to do. Hopefully it will come up like it's supposed to. There it is. This is your clicker. And so your picture corresponds with that. And you can just kind of give us a little taste, okay, of this sermon. How does that? Did he know he was going to preach today or not? I'm sorry. I just want to give them a taste for what it's like. And by the way, we did this in Africa when we were in Rwanda, training the people how to use these sermons. And we had 500 elders and church members in this one auditorium, and they were so excited to get this material. So let's just hear it. Just maybe a minute or two of How to Know the Future. Maybe we need to get the handheld. Oh, it's not even attached. Sorry. Where is... No, it doesn't even have a wire. I know, it's hooked to my computer. Well, okay, yeah. So you have to down. That's a good question. You do have to download them because, yeah, you don't want to just have to go to the site every time you need it. What I would recommend you do is go and download all 26 sermons, get them on your computer. Is it working?
Do you have it in there?
It is. No, it's not. It sure isn't.
It's
Henry.
Important.
Oh, Henry.
See, I know.
Where is it? It's over here.
Where is it?
Yes, thank you.
In that little hole.
Okay, there you go. All right. So, yes, you download them. You download them to your computer. I actually have them on a USB drive, and that is an easy way to copy and distribute them so that you can have them for the presentation. Hopefully so. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll just click for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, something's not working. Could be the batteries. Okay, could be the batteries. All right.
There it is. It's working.
It's working. I had to catch it. I had
there
to find
go.
It.
All right, here we go.
Okay. A dream from the past speaks to the present. And this is not easy because I haven't even looked at this yet.
And by the way, I'm gonna pick on one other person. You get to pick on the next person, actually.
Oh, it's in my court again. Okay.
After a couple of slides.
All right.
So be ready.
I like this. I do mine a little different. I do embed my over here, over there. So I just, and sometimes I have to use paper, too. So anyway, an absent-minded scholar was riding the train one day, totally absorbed in his reading, and the conductor came by and asked for his ticket. And the scholar reached into his pockets but couldn't find it. And he began checking again rather frantically. So the conductor said very kindly, "Never mind, air. I don't mind. Never mind, sir."
Don't worry.
Yeah, it was going dim on me.
That's
don't
okay.
worry. I'm certainly you have it, the scholar shot back in a panic, "but you don't understand. I've got to find it now. I need that ticket to know where in the world I'm supposed to be going." Millions of people around the world in this planet tonight are asking, where in the world are we headed? Where are we going? The future appears uncertain, and they are confused. They have no aim in life, and they wonder, where is mankind headed? And we don't need to wonder any longer.
Amen.
2,600 years ago, an ancient king.
I'll scroll down.
Yeah. It's. Wrote in this book, the book of Daniel, chapter 2 tells a story of a remarkable dream. The man who had the dream was at the time ruler of Babylon, then the most powerful kingdom in the world. And only in his only second year as king, Nebuchadnezzar went to bed one night and with anxious thoughts upon his mind. He, like all of us at times, wondered about the future and wondered just how long his kingdom would endure. And finally, he drifted off to sleep.
Okay, there's my tap on the shoulder. Well, howdy do, folks. Amen. Okay.
It's really different when you haven't looked at it because I try not to read the notes.
I know.
So you, I ad-libbed a little bit.
I know that, Henry, you speak at your church, and you speak around at churches. Yeah. That's why I picked on you. But this gives you a sense of what it's like for using New Beginnings. And, of course, when you practice it, it can become very natural.
Yes.
And you can use it. So,
yeah, I really like it.
So thank you for being willing to be a guinea pig. Do we have one other volunteer that wants to try it?
I get to pick on somebody.
You get to pick on one person. Let's pick. It has to be of the opposite gender. Let's get a female up here. Give it a shot.
Would you like
to? Okay, we'll try it. Come on up. All right, now tell everybody your name.
Betty Gareth.
All right, Betty. So Betty is going to be our next preacher. And Betty, I think he left off right here. Okay. So let's start with this slide. And then, yep, and then you can. I'll just let you hold the mic.
Yeah, you do the clicking.
I'll click for you. How's that?
Okay, great.
You just start right there.
Okay. When the king awoke from his fitful sleep, he was perplexed. He knew he had dreamed, and he knew that it was a dream of great importance, but he couldn't remember what it was. The Babylonians placed great importance on such things. So despite the early hour, Nebuchadnezzar had summoned the astrologers, magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers who claimed to be able to tell mysteries and interpret dreams. Surely they could tell him what it was all about. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." These so-called wise men were shocked. They had no way of knowing what the king had dreamed. If only he could tell them the dream, they were confident they could give him a believable explanation. So they said, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." But Nebuchadnezzar was in no mood for bargaining with his well-paid wise guys. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm."
Okay. I think we'll stop there, but Betty, thank you. You did a great job. Did she do good? Amen. So that just gives you a little taste of what it's like to preach a New Beginning sermon. And let me tell you, we have had children preach these sermons. I have been in places where 15-year-olds have preached an entire series of meetings and really gained decisions for Christ. Amen? So if a 15-year-old can do it, do you think you can? Amen. So I just wanted to show you that as a resource that you can use in your churches, and I hope that that'll be a blessing for you. ASIMinistries.org/newbeginnings. Okay. We're going to get to our sermon now, and I want to share with you ASIMinistries.org/newbeginnings, okay? That's the website, and it's on the brochure. This is a picture from Rwanda. This is where we were in March, and you can see all those people, they're waving at you. They were being trained on how to use the New Beginnings DVD program. And by God's grace, 98,000 people baptized just a few weeks ago. I mean, God's Spirit was moving in Rwanda, and there's tremendous stories out of that country, out of which so much heartbreak and pain was there not so long ago. Only 1994 was when the genocide took place in Rwanda, and now God's Spirit is moving in a powerful way, and many people are coming to the gospel. So the Lord is really at work. And, you know, I had intended, I'm going to just fly through these because of our time has just gone by so fast. I was going to tell you a little bit about my trip to Kibidula, which is an ASI ministry in Africa, in Tanzania, very similar to Riverside, which I told you, which you saw about yesterday. You remember the video about Riverside? Kibidula is more remote than Riverside. You have to take a little plane. It's very scary to get out there, at least it was for me. That's me and our ASI president, Steve Dickman, about to get on the plane. Notice Steve's worried look. Notice my confident look. I'm just kidding. we were both a little nervous about that plane ride, but it wasn't too bad. Kibidula is doing an amazing job of reaching the people of Tanzania. And one of the things that they're doing that's really, really cool is that they have a giant avocado plantation. Through an ASI grant, they've now planted 10,000 avocado trees that are starting to produce. Here's Steve with Jason Fournier. Jason is the director of Kibidula. You may know Jason's dad, Frank, who was the president of ASI, Frank Fournier. So Jason and his wife, Antoinette, are really self-sacrificing missionaries that live there in the heart of Africa. And Jason is a farmer, and he is a director, so he's really a multi-talented guy, and the Lord is just blessing him as he gives so much to that mission outpost. This is another ASI project. We're building a publishing house that's going to publish materials for distribution all over Tanzania. Amen? So they're going to be publishing Bible studies and tracts and all kinds of things for the country of Tanzania and beyond. They have an aviation program. Jason built this plane himself out of a kit, believe it or not. But you know what the problem is? They have a plane, but they have no pilot. So if you know of someone that wants to be a mission pilot and wants to serve in Africa, let us know. Kibidula is looking for a dedicated, self-sacrificing missionary pilot for their operations. If the plane was in operation, if they could get a pilot there, they could minister to the various outposts where these lay Bible workers are planting churches all over Tanzania. So it's really an important ministry that they have there. There's Jason with some of the avocado trees. Some of the Bible, these are students in the agriculture program. They have a program that trains young people on how to basically farm the land, but it also trains them on how to know the Lord. And when this program starts, when they bring people in, about 80% of them are non-Adventist. But by the time they leave, a couple years later, typically about two-thirds of the class has been baptized. So it just is a tremendous outreach. This girl, I have a video of this, but because of time, I'm just flying by. But she had an amazing testimony of how her parents did not want her to go to Kibidula. They didn't want to allow her to come, but through God's providence, she was able to come. And she was not a Seventh-day Adventist, but now she has been baptized. She is a Seventh-day Adventist, and she is, you can see the smile on her face. She's just passionate about wanting to serve God and take his message to everyone that she meets. This gentleman, and I feel bad because I've forgotten his name, but this is a video, actually, a still shot from a video, and I wish I could show you this video too, but he has an amazing testimony, guys. He is a printer, okay? He operated a business in the United States in the state of Idaho, and let me tell you, he had never heard of ASI. He had never heard of ASI, but he is an ASI member at heart because his whole life he's been ministering through his business. And the real fruit of his walk with God came just a couple years ago because he felt the call to go deeper from where he was. Long story short, he sold his business. God miraculously provided a printing press. And he felt that God was leading him to do something in Africa, but he didn't know where. And so he was praying that God would show him where to go. And through a miraculous chain of events, he was connected to Kibidula. The people that donated the printing press are not even Adventist. And when he told them about this, he was actually going to buy it for a cheaper cost. When they heard about the ministry of Kibidula, they just decided to donate it. And so God miraculously moved him to Kibidula with a completely paid-for printing press that is now publishing tracts and books and everything in the native language to reach the people of Tanzania. And this brother has just a self-giving. He's just so giving in his heart. And I was so inspired to hear his testimony. It's people like this, people that are willing to lay it on the line and go deeper with Jesus Christ, who are going to finish this work. And so I just want to praise the Lord for his testimony. And I ask you to pray for the people there at Kibidula. Here's a beautiful picture of everybody eating lunch. I just thought that was a cool picture. But pray with me, if you will, for the people there and for the work of God in that important place. There are so many souls that need to be reached in that country. So that's a little tour of one of our ASI ministries, and if you come to ASI Convention, you're going to hear more. They are one of our featured offering projects this year. We are trying to help Kibidula expand their ministry. And by the way, before I forget, ASI Convention, does anybody know where it is this year? Phoenix, Arizona. Please don't bring your jacket, okay? Jeff's wife is actually out. Jeff Blumenberg's wife is our event coordinator, so she's been working very hard. This is the busy time for Sharon. She's preparing for that convention. And so we want you to come. If you're able, it's going to be a blessing. You will hear testimonies much more effectively told than I just told you about Kibidula, but just tremendous stories of how God is working around the world. And your vision will be broadened as you see the impact of these ministries and business people who are living with the one goal, the one purpose of taking the three angels' messages to the world. Yes. That is correct. 3ABN does broadcast the main meetings, and so that's a very good point. Thank you, Sister Betty, for that. We We do broadcast on 3ABN, so we invite you to tune in if you can't come in person. And please, above all, pray for us and pray for these ministries. Amen? That God will use them. So, now I've got to make a tough decision because time is gone. But I really wanted to show you some of those things today as this is my last time with you. I have to share. Okay. I have to do it. All right. I'm going to share with you I'm making a decision here regarding time. Just, can we pray one more time? I'm just going to pray that God would just guide us in these last few minutes and ask for Him to just guide my words into what He wants me to share. So let's just bow our heads one more time. Father in heaven, thank You for this opportunity to be here today, and thank You for what we just have considered in regards to the work of Kibbe Dula in Africa. Thank You for the missionaries that are serving selflessly in those areas. And we pray for them now, Father. And just in this moment, I want to also pray that You would be with us in these last few minutes together. Help me to share what You would have me to share, and I pray that someone would be encouraged by this message today. We love You, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Three to six is ASI. One of my favorite stories as a young person, I love space. And I don't know if any of you like stories from space, but I just love the space, reading about the space program. And one of my favorite, I don't recommend watching movies, guys. I really don't encourage watching movies. But before I kind of stopped watching movies, I watched Apollo 13. I don't know if you know that story. And that is just a tremendous, tremendous story. And I'm just going to share just a snippet from this because it relates to what God has taught me through my own personal experience. And so you may remember the story, April 11, 1970. I won't ask who was alive then. I wasn't. But some of you were. And you may remember when this actually happened. Apollo 13 crew, Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes, and Jack Swaggart blasted off on their Saturn V rocket from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida on their way to the moon. It was less than a year after Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had first set foot on that lunar soil. But 56 hours after a successful launch, with the Apollo 13 spacecraft and its three-man crew 205,000 miles from Earth on their way to the moon, came the ominous words, "Houston, we have a problem." An oxygen tank in the service module exploded, setting off a chain reaction of failures that crippled basic life support systems. Realizing the situation was critical and one of life or death, mission control and the crew were no longer focused on reaching the moon. Now they had one purpose and one purpose only: to get the crew home safely. And so they reached the same conclusion. They had to create a lifeboat for the crew in the lunar module and the spider-looking craft named Aquarius that was to land them on the moon. And so that little module, together with the damaged service module, were slingshot around the moon, using the moon's gravity to shoot them back to Earth. A loss of power, loss of heat, shortage of water, and a crippled air purification system. Things were not looking good. At one point, they had to famously figure out, with tape and spare parts, how to create an air filter to keep them alive. The crew and mission control worked together in what was nothing short of a miracle. You may remember where they said, "We have to learn how to fit a square peg in a round hole." But they had a purpose. They had a goal. One mission: to bring those three men safely back to Earth. The flight director, Gene Kranz, who was the man at the helm at Mission Control in Houston, was approached by the NASA director at the height of the crisis. The director said, "Gene, this could be the worst disaster NASA has ever experienced." Gene's reply was one that would be timeless. He said, "With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour." He told his team the famous words, "Failure is not an option." They came together They had one purpose, to get the three men home. They gave their best effort, all their energy to that one single goal. It was life or death. They had one purpose, and failure was not an option. And you know the rest of the story. By God's grace, I believe, the astronauts of Apollo 13 approached the Earth. Their problems were not over. They had to first correct their course. If they were too shallow, they would skip off the atmosphere. Too steep, and they would burn up on reentry. And the parachutes that would protect them on splashdown, the heaters had not been working. So they would be blocks of ice, unable to safely land them in the sea. And so they were worried. Was the heat shield damaged from the explosion? Were these things all going to work together? They did their best, but all they could do in the end was pray. As the command module plummeted to the Earth in a fireball, there was the standard blackout of radio communications. Tensely they waited. Would this end up in a failure? Would they make it home? 1:07 p.m., they heard the sound of Jim Lovell over the radio as the bright orange parachutes unfurled in the sky, and the crew of Apollo 13 made the splashdown in the Pacific Ocean, and they were safely home. My friends, the crew of Apollo 13 and the mission control team on those fateful days had one purpose, did they not? To bring those guys home. They had one goal in mind. And I would ask you today, what is our purpose? Do we, as the Church of God, have one purpose in this world? Do we have a single-minded focus on what God has given us to do? And this is a question that I had to ask myself, and this is where my testimony comes in, because in my life, I shared with you a little bit about the story of where I had been. And I did not have a clear sense of purpose. My family background and all these things had contributed to that, but I really didn't know where God was leading me. I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And so I think the last thing I shared with you is that I had gone through a period of severe depression and anxiety to the point where I had literally had suicidal thoughts and was struggling with knowing what I was going to do with my life. And I believe that God is so merciful to us, you know, because sometimes we can't see the end from the beginning, but He knows where we need to be. And even though we may not always make the right decisions, He is leading us and helps us get to where we need to be. Amen? So I made the decision to leave Southern and to go to Columbia Union College. And I was studying for law because my dad was a lawyer, and so I wanted to do law and I wanted to go into politics. That was my dream, actually, to run for office. And so when I was there at CUC, I ended up doing two majors. I did a major in political science and a major in religion. Had my feet in both camps. And I did some internships downtown. I worked for my congressman from Tennessee. And then in 2014, I worked for George W. Bush in the White House in the Office of Correspondence. And that was just, that's a long story, but it was really God's mercy that I was able to work there as a White House intern. And I'll tell you, it was very interesting. There's not many Seventh-day Adventists in government. And people would often ask me, about my faith. And I had the opportunity one time, actually, the only time I met President Bush, we had our picture with him. And we were standing on the north portico of the White House, and we waited for about 45 minutes. Our particular office was on the front row, and Dick Cheney was right in front of me, and George W. Bush was right next to him. And they came, and they took their picture with us, and they talked with us for a few minutes about, you know, thanking us for volunteering as interns. By the way, interns don't get paid anything. It's your privilege to work there, right? And then in my mind, though, I said, okay, Kyle, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to say something to the President of the United States. And I gathered up my courage, and I said, I just blurted it out. Because right as he finished, I knew I had like 2 seconds, then he was going to be gone. And so I blurted, I said, Mr. President, people, we're praying for you. And he looked kind of startled. He was like, He looked up at me because he was right here. He's like, thank you. the girl I worked with in my office, she was like, I can't believe you spoke to the president of the United States. You don't speak until you're spoken to. But anyway, God gave me some opportunities to witness in that environment. But while I was there, I began to feel a gnawing inside, though, that I was pursuing my own dream. I was pursuing what I wanted to do. And I knew that I was kind of running from God's call. I began to feel that deeply in my heart. And I remember walking out of the White House on my last day there, I remember feeling very distinctly God telling me, this is not what I had for you. You were here for a purpose, but this is not your purpose for existence. You are on this earth to serve me. And so I knew that when I walked out of the White House that day, that was it. I knew in my heart that God wanted me to serve him. But I still fought it. I still wasn't sure. And it's a long, long process of God working with us and showing us his will. I went to a conference that you've heard of called GYC, and when I went there, I began to hear messages about how God is calling this generation to take the message of our church to the world. I'll never forget the first sermon I heard at GYC by David Asherick in 2003, where he talked about how our identity as Seventh-day Adventists drives our mission. And I remember seeing the young adults who were coming and thinking to myself, wow, these are actually, all of these young adults are committed to taking the gospel to the world. Some of them were willing to lay their lives on the line and be missionaries. Some of them were being willing to change their careers to serve Christ. And I remember thinking, wow, is this what God wants for me? I mean, maybe God is calling me to give my life to him in service and in ministry. My heart was stirred deeply. And God began to show me that this is what he wanted me to do. And that this is the generation that he's calling to take his Advent message to the world. But I was still struggling with God's call. And, asking God, where am I supposed to go with my life? I've had a hard time making decisions in my life, I'll be honest with you guys. I've struggled with making decisions. And I believe that God can help us make decisions even when we struggle with making decisions. The Spirit of Prophecy gives us counsel on knowing God's will and making good decisions, and that counsel has helped me, which I'm sure you all are familiar with. Of course, knowing God's Word, listening to godly friends and parents, and opening of divine providence, and all of those things were indicators in my life of God's will. But even as I finished college and I took the law school admissions test, and I didn't do as well as I had hoped, but I was still not wanting to follow what I knew was God's call into ministry, but I was just kind of running. And honestly, I think it was a selfish desire that I was fighting. I told you before, I didn't want to be a pastor because I didn't want to be stuck in a church with problems. And I was literally praying, Lord, I can serve you, but I don't want to be a pastor, Lord. I'll serve you wherever you lead me, but just not as a pastor. That was my prayer. And boy, God loves to, I think, laugh sometimes when we make our prayers to him and give him conditions for where we can and can't serve, right? Well, the Lord works in spite of our own short-sightedness sometimes. And so by God's grace, he sent me to seminary, and I'm moving quickly. I'm just going to go quickly through this here. By God's grace, he sent me to seminary, and at the end of seminary, I was still wrestling, believe it or not, with the call. And I didn't know what to do because I went on faith to seminary. I didn't have a sponsorship like some of these guys do, and I wasn't guaranteed a position. But sure enough, God opened a door for me to go to San Diego, California, and I served at the San Diego Filipino American Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I thought, this is so funny, Lord. I got hired at a Filipino church. I look nothing like a Filipino. I stood out like a sore thumb. I remember the first time I went in the church, and I tried to hide in the back because I was kind of nervous, you know. And of course, they're all a little bit, quite a bit shorter than me and a little bit darker than me. And so I'm kind of hiding in the back, and I went in the back, and I remember the pastor just called me out. Pastor Kyle, welcome to your first Sabbath at the new church. And he brought me up to the front of the stage, and I was so tired, I sat me right down behind him, and I slept through the whole sermon. That was not a good start to ministry. But God is merciful. And it was a great experience serving at the San Diego Philam Church. I love the Filipino people. They are so warm and gracious. And God, I'm going really fast now, okay, because it's already 12:15. Man, God brought me next to the Mentone Church in Loma Linda, California. How many of you have been to Loma Linda? Loma Linda is a blessed place. I miss it. But when I got to this church, let me just say this. The Lord did not answer my prayer to keep me away from a small church with problems. This was a small church that did have some serious problems. The conference told me that it didn't. Well, I shouldn't say they didn't tell me it didn't have problems. The conference was aware it did, but they thought they were better than they were. When I got there, I realized how bad things were. And two groups within the church were fighting, and they had staked out their positions. And here I was, a 27-year-old, first-time senior pastor, and just thrown into what I felt like was the lion's den. And there was a group, though, that gathered around me and really prayed for me and supported me during that first 6 months. There were nights, though, guys, when I was desperately crying out to God, praying that God would deliver me and send me somewhere else. Because I didn't want I told you I struggled with anxiety, and that anxiety started to come back strong. Because I didn't feel like I had the answer. I didn't feel like I knew what to do. But you know what, guys? I will, and this is really the heart of a big part of my testimony, and that is, I think when we get to the point where we don't have the answer, where we realize that we cannot solve the problems, that is when God can pour out His Spirit and work in a powerful way. And so, and I just want to encourage you. Some of you may be in problems in your churches. You may be in a situation where you don't have the answer. But I personally can testify today that when you are at that point of absolute, complete realizing that you cannot do it, that is when God can use you, and He can use you beyond your wildest dreams. God bless the Mentone Church. Even though we had continued problems and theological divisions and people fighting and stuff behind the scenes and marriage issues, you know, every church has these problems, right? But when we focused on the one purpose of spreading the gospel, many of those things, as we said yesterday, when we focused on evangelism, many of those things began to fade into the background, and our church began to grow. And by the time I left, we were literally bursting at the seams. And now, 2 years later, they have another great pastor that's there. The church has gone to 2 services. They're continuing to do evangelism. God has just blessed that little church. And I would never have expected, when I arrived, with all the things that were going on, all the problems and all the, just the junk, really, that God could do that. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, friends. And so, having that one purpose, God was teaching me all along the importance of having that singular focus on mission and serving Him. There was one story I just have to share with you. Can I share this story? Is it okay? Okay, just quickly. Sometimes God has to teach you that you are not, sometimes we think that if we can tell others what to do, that we're actually, that's okay, that's good enough. You know what I'm saying? Some of you that are delegators. And pastors can fall into that trap. And I kind of, you know, I was scared to do evangelism in the sense of going door to door and actually inviting people to come to the church. But God had to teach me that He needed me to get out there in the field too. I was one Sabbath afternoon telling my church that we needed to go out to the community and invite people. And I was telling them, church members, how many of you are coming out this afternoon? And some of them raised their hands, and I was like, all right, that's not enough. I need at least double that number. So more of them raised their hand. Oh, I was encouraging them. I was pushing them. After lunch, I'd get on the microphone at the potluck hall. All right, how many of you are coming out to invite people to the evangelistic meetings? And sure enough, we rallied them together. And then I was all excited because people were going out and stuff. And then we had some people from Advent Hope, Melody, that were there. And you may know Valerie Crozier. Okay, no, this is Nicole Parker's sister. She came to me and she said, Pastor Kyle, thanks for encouraging us to go out. But are you planning to go out in the field? And I was like, well, you know, Valerie, I'm actually planning to stay back here and make sure everything's good on the home front. I'm kind of coordinating the maps and making sure we're all in the right streets. And she's like, no, I think you need to go out there. I was like, well, what can I say? Anyway, long story short, I end up going out to the streets. God leads me to a street, and I'm praying, and I hate going door to door. I really do. But I'm praying, and I'm knocking on the doors, passing out the flyer to the evangelistic meetings. I come to a door, pass the flyer to a guy. He just barely opens the door. He takes the flyer, and he's kind of gruff. You know, he's not real friendly. And I didn't think anything of it because, you know, he certainly didn't seem that open. And I invited him to the series. He says, well, you know, I don't know. And he says, thank you for coming. And then slams the door. A couple minutes later, I'm walking down the street, and guess who I see walking down the street? That guy. He's walking down the street, and he's holding the flyer in his hand, and he's got a cane, and he's walking down. And he shouts over at me. He's like, hey, young man, are you the one that invited me? I said, yes. He said, well, that's very interesting. You know, I'm thinking about it. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, didn't expect that. Then I keep working the street, right? And then about 10 minutes later, he's coming down the other side, and he sees me again. And he says, hey, you're the preacher. You came to my house a few minutes ago. I've seen you now 3 times today. I think God's telling me something. I went up to him, and I just started talking to him at that point. He was much more friendly. Long story short, Brother Ron started coming to the evangelistic meetings. And, you know, God is so merciful. He came every single night. He did not make a decision to be baptized right away. It took him a whole year and a half until the next evangelistic series that we had. And some of you may remember that I had shared one of my deacons who didn't have any other talent, really. I mean, I shouldn't say that. He's a good guy, but he just didn't have a lot of gifts in terms of speaking or that kind of evangelistic gifts. But he was very giving, and he wanted to give rides to people. Ron didn't have a car, so Dan gave him rides every single Sabbath to church and every Wednesday to prayer meeting. And those two bonded. And let me tell you, the day that Ron decided to be baptized, my heart was just, I could have just touched the moon. And Ron, I remember we made the appeal. It was at the end, and I had been praying and praying and praying because he hadn't made a decision, but he finally came down on his cane, and he had a very messed up foot, and he decided to be baptized. He says, Pastor, I just don't know what we're going to do with this foot because I can't get in the baptistry with this thing. I said, Ron, don't worry. We're going to take care of you. Sure enough, we wrapped a bag around his leg, okay, a garbage bag, and they taped it, and Dan, the guy who, you know, the big guy who had driven him every Sabbath and every Wednesday to church, Dan was in the baptistry with me, and Ron was a big guy, and I'm not that big of a guy, but I'm worried now because he's got this bag, and I'm trying to make, and Ron was so worried that something bad was going to happen, right? But he was willing to go through the baptism, came in the baptistry, and I'm just on cloud 9 because Ron is finally getting baptized, and I am putting him down in the water. Dan's behind me, thankfully. That leg shot up because it was full of air in the bag. Ron goes back down into the tank, and I'm like trying to lift him up. Ron, come up again. Dan pushed him, and up he was, and everybody clapped. And Ron was baptized, praise God. And today, Ron moved, but he is in Texas. He is still attending church, and I am just so thankful that the Lord showed me that even as a pastor, I had to go out and go door to door. My friends, God can do immeasurably abundantly above all we can ask or think when we focus on fulfilling the mission He has for us. I have one final story to share with you as we close. When I was, we're not even able to get to some of these here, but let me go to this text. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. When I was at Columbia Union College trying to decide whether to go to law school or to seminary. I told you I was struggling with that decision, right? One day, I for whatever reason, I went to the General Conference office. Little did I know I would someday work there. It blows my mind now that God has put me there to work with ASI. But I went to the General Conference office, and I was walking around, and I was just kind of curious. You know, I've never been to the GC President's office, so I was thinking to myself, well, what would it be like if I went to the President's office? Maybe he would be there, you know? Maybe I get to meet him. So I just kind of walked up there and walked by, and I went up to the desk, and I was really nervous at this point because I didn't know any of the people. And the secretary was very kind, and she said, young man, what's your name? And I said, oh, my name is Kyle, and I'm a student at Columbia Union College. And she says, well, you know, you're in luck. I said, why? He said, well, because the GC president is actually here. She says, he travels most of the time, but he's in his office right now. Would you like to meet him? And I was like, sure. And I'm like straightening my shirt and stuff, you know, and whatever. And right at that moment, Jan Paulsen walks out. And I remember he had this vest on, this like sweater vest. You know, he's very prim and proper, you know. He's like, hello, young man, in his European accent. He says, come into my office. And I was like, oh, come into your office? Sure. So I went into his office. And I remember, and I'll just make this quick, but he asked me what I was doing, and I told him. And then I felt like God impressed me to ask him this. I said, Pastor Paulsen, I have a question. I am really struggling with what to do with my life, and I'm struggling to know my purpose on this earth. I feel like I want to be a lawyer and politics, but I also feel this calling to ministry, and I've been trying to figure it out, and I just don't know what to do. And I think God gave him the answer that he gave me. I really do, because I have never forgotten it, and it burned deeply an impression on my mind. But he thought for a moment, and then he put one hand on my shoulder, and he said, Kyle, when you've put your hand to the plow, never look back. And that was all he said. And then he prayed for me. And that was it. And leaving that day, I couldn't get those words out of my mind. When you put your hand to the plow, never look back. Never look back. And I feel like the Holy Spirit spoke through him to tell me that I was struggling, looking back, trying to figure out my purpose, but God had clearly shown me my purpose for living on this earth. And so by God's grace, I believe that he showed me that day what my purpose was. That he wanted me to put my hand on the plow and never look back. Jesus told this story here in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, and I'll just go to the final verse. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus said to this man, remember in this story, he said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This lesson was a hard lesson for me to learn, but I want to share with you today with all my heart that I believe God wants you and me, my friends. God wants us to put our hands on that plow and never look back. We have one purpose on this earth. We have one mission. Our mission is much greater than bringing 3 astronauts home. Our mission is to bring people to their eternal home. And we have one mission on this earth, one driving focus that should be the center of everything that you and I do, regardless of our occupation, regardless of our status in life, regardless of our education, our wealth, our background, our heritage. It doesn't matter. You are Seventh-day Adventists, and you and I are called to one purpose in a special sense. Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been giving a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first second, and third angels' messages, there is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. One purpose. One purpose. We are to be united as laymen and church officers, as people of God around the world. We've looked at this quote already. I'm just going through some of these powerful statements. The work of God on this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. Amen? One purpose. Again and again, the angel has said to me, press together, press together. Be of one mind, of one judgment. Christ is the leader, and you are brethren. Follow him. Letter 4, 1890. Look at this. The secret of our success in the work of God will be found in the harmonious working of our people. There must be concentrated action. Every member of the body of Christ must act his part in the cause of God according to the ability God has given him. We must press together against obstructions and difficulties, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, one purpose. If Christians were to act in concert, moving forward as one, under the direction of one power, for the accomplishment of one purpose, they would move the world. Mountain View Conference. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Do you believe that God is calling you and me to fulfill that one purpose of taking the three angels' messages to the world? By His grace, my friends, someday soon we're going to see Him coming. And we are going to see our Savior in the cloud of heaven. And that one purpose, that everything that we have lived for in that one moment, everything will fade. All the trials, all the difficulties is going to fade in insignificance. All the pain and the heartache, it's going to be gone because we're going to be with our Savior forever. And those that we have worked for and labored for are going to be raised to life and are going to be with our Savior forever. Can you imagine that day? When you see someone that you found at the door or that you invited to church and they're going to heaven, how happy, how much excitement is that going to bring to your heart and to the heart of Jesus? That is our purpose on this earth. There is no greater calling. There is no greater mission. There is nothing greater to live for. Amen? May this be our prayer. My time is done. But I want to just pray for you. And as I do, I'm going to ask you to stand. And let's commit our hearts to this one purpose of taking the three angels' messages to the world. And I want us to sing one last time that song, Praying for the Harvest. Amen? We're going to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send out laborers into His harvest field. And He's going to answer that prayer. Let's sing it together. The harvest is plentiful.
Harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest, into His harvest. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Do not say,
there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are all. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Therefore pray
pray. I want to let you know that we have a resource for you. Melody has this here, and this is Sharing Your Faith, right? This is a booklet that is a handbook for prayerful, Bible-based witnessing, and I want to give this to you as a gift, a thank you for coming to the 11 o'clock meeting this week. So may you be blessed as you get this. We're going to pass this out just now, but I want to just bow our heads for one final prayer as we close. Father, thank you for the week we've shared together. Thank you for the, Lord, immeasurable blessings that all of us have experienced at Camp Meeting 2016 here at Mountain View. We thank you for each speaker and each presentation that has challenged us to go deeper in our walk with you. And Lord, my prayer today is a simple one. My prayer for all of us is that you would help us to have that single-minded focus on the mission that you have given to us. The mission of taking the gospel as it is in verity, the three angels' messages to the world in this generation, to lift up Jesus before the people, to show others his love, and to witness for his truth. Father, help that to be our one united purpose. Because, Lord, we want to see you come. And when you come, we don't want anyone to be lost. We long for our families, for our churches, for everyone in all of our friends. Lord, we want them to be there. And so help us, Father, to labor and to pray earnestly, diligently, with every ounce of strength that you've given us. May we labor with one purpose, to bring souls to the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would send laborers into your harvest field. This field of Mountain View here in West Virginia, the harvest truly is great. The fields are white and the people are needing this message. Lord, send out your laborers. Hear our cry today. Pour out your spirit on this conference. I pray you would double the membership of this conference. Lord, do bigger and bigger things. Bless more abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine, because you are the one. Your power works in us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Thank you that you will empower each one here to do their part, to finish this work. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.